This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Yeah, that's right. You are tuned to Community Radio 3CR with a Friday Rave. Thanks for another great program, James and In Your Face. You're on 855 AM or, of course, by all the W's at 3cr.org.au. You might be listening back to our slowly upgrading podcasts, or you might be tuned in from somewhere else.
Well, I'm tuned in from somewhere else today, Mercedes, as you're aware, and listeners, I'm tuning in. Is it still tuning in if I'm doing it live into the studio from the virtual studio in the Thumpin' Pig, currently parked outside the Yass Railway Museum here on Burunanawa Land in New South Wales?
Oh, back on the road.
Back on the road. And it's no coincidence that you just chose to play that card about the protest going on in Canberra. From Sunday to Tuesday, because that's why I'm on the road. I'm in Yass heading towards Canberra to start working with some people and setting up the logistics for the protests over the 3 days.
Yeah, that's right. So, of course, as you just heard on the cart just before, and if you would have seen, you would have heard upcoming on 3CR and other programs, that there is a convergence on Canberra happening starting this weekend, Sunday the 20th of July, and running until Tuesday the 22nd. And so, as Jake just said, he's on the way up there. And I'll be heading up tomorrow. And then on Sunday, there's going to be a whole bunch of people from across the continent cruising into Canberra to make some noise in the belly of the beast. And it's a united call for sanctions on Israel.
And look, I was just looking at some tiles that went out on Instagram, and it's amazing the range and the depth of organisations around the country who are endorsing this protest. Yeah. I don't know how many, but there were pages and pages of tiles, and I didn't count them, but you probably got an idea of how many endorsements there are.
Yeah, I think there's about 150 organisations across a massive breadth of environmental, First Nations justice, climate justice, anti-genocide, groups for Palestine, of course. There's about 150 organisations and community groups that have endorsed it, and all have said that they're going to try and get, you know, going to get people along to come and make some noise. And this weekend, Tuesday, is the opening of Parliament, of the 48th Parliament. And so a big part, you know, obviously coming into it's been an election just recently. And something that, Jake, you and I have spoken about is that, you know, in the lead up to the election, there's just been inaction. It's been 21 months of a live stream genocide. And, you know, all listeners to a Friday Rave and to 3CR in general would have been to all of the rallies. We've been out on the streets for 21 months. There's been actions against weapons manufacturers. There's been, lobbying community groups, you know, people taking BDS to council. There's been BDS actions. And the government, the Labor government, has just not acted in the lead up to the election. You know, they were like, oh no, we've got to play it safe. We can't do anything because you just don't want to end up with Peter Dutton.
Well, that's what we've been hearing for 20 months. You know, when we started the campaign against just one of our favourite asswipes, Peter Khalil, seat of Wills, and we were pointing out that, you know, things like he was a protected source for the US consulate here in Australia, in Melbourne, actually, that he was a friend, and his first action of being a Punterian was to organise a lunch for Lockheed Martin. When we started pointing out those things, and along with, of course, his undying and unwavering support of the Israeli genocide, even good lefties started saying to us, oh, listen, you don't want to go, you know, you don't want it to be your fault if you end up with what's his name? How soon we forget? The potato head from Queensland.
Dutton. It's pretty forgettable.
Dutton. That's his name, the ex-copper or current copper, whatever. But now with a landslide majority in Parliament, and not only a landslide majority in the federal government, come the Tasmanian election this Saturday that looks like Labor's going to win, it'll be the first time in God knows how long that we've had a Labor government federally and in every state and territory of the country. I think I don't think they can any longer say we need to stay quiet because of the boogeyman of the coalition, the Liberal Party, the National Party. Are they still a coalition? They are. They aren't. They are. They are. They can do what they can now.
Yeah, and I think it's also, you know, I think that that's not the only reason, but I mean, on multiple occasions over 21 months of genocide, Penny Wong, Anthony Albanese, across all of the Labor government, you know, referring to Israel as friends and allies and saying that they're an important ally. Yeah. And so it's like, well, there's a genocide that's going on and the government are not doing any, you are absolutely complicit. And, you know, the call for sanctions is like, there's a lot of things that can fall under sanctions. That mean economic sanctions, arms embargoes. There's such a breadth of things that falls under these sanctions. And the government have pretty recently put out targeted sanctions about against in the media, they call them far right, but to be honest, they're all far right. Smotrich and the name's just evaded me, of targeted sanctions for settler violence and in increasing settlements, but not on the state of Israel that is currently carrying out a genocide in which over 100 Palestinians have been murdered, maimed, and bombed into oblivion.
Yeah, and it's genocide. And look, I had to stop myself because I was going to say it's not only the Gazan genocide, and and that sounds awful because, you know, genocide is such a heinous crime that everything else pales into insignificance, and they're profiting on that by continuing their attacks in the West Bank, by escalating their attacks in Syria. Mm. They're bombing Syria as we speak, and it's not even making the news because we are, quite rightly, focused, well, not just on Palestine but on Gaza in particular. And it's hard to talk about them bombing Syria that they're saying is to protect the Druze. Can you believe it?
You can't believe it because it's not true.
It's not true, no. When there's a genocide going on, You can't worry really too much about what's going on to Israel's north and east when there's a genocide going on in their southwest. It's impossible.
Impossible. And for the last 77 years of occupation, of a military occupation, and you know, the movement for a free Palestine is really one that is about liberation, and that's for the people in Gaza that are being bombarded after 21 months of genocide, but after decades and decades of military attacks and bombs and murders by Israel, but also for the right of return for Palestinians who are living across the world.
That's right. It's a
movement for liberation.
Yeah, and the last 19 months have been different in terms of scale rather than in terms of intent. It's been going on for a long time. But my point about when I to Albanese, when I say now is the time, you know, we all know, well, some people may not, I don't know, they might want to continue kidding themselves, that our Australian government, like most Western democracies, are not decision makers of any real purpose. They are decision implementers, because up until the election, and Albanese and his lardy hacks have been saying to us, you've got to be careful, don't say too much, or you'll end up with Dutton, and how bad will that be? Now, at the start, from day one of a new parliament, there is no risk. There is absolutely no risk of anything of the government changing. You know, even if regular listeners might know my assessment that if Anthony Albanese goes too far or says it's too much, that the market forces or market pressures will be implemented by the global West that controls more than half Australia, the actualisation of the Australian dollar, and Albanese will see himself out of government within a month. But I think even that scenario can't happen now. There is no alternative government, not the Liberal Party, Country Party coalition. There is no one available. The only thing they can do to the Albanese government, if he pisses off the United States and Israel too much, is, I guess, a coup, because there's no one's going to vote Liberal. No, the Liberal Party haven't got the wherewithal to form government anymore. So now is the time when Albanese, and you can say whatever, people can say whatever they like about him, and I've said quite a few narky things about him too, but one thing he's not is an idiot, and the other thing he's not is a Zionist. I've said in the past that I wish he was a Zionist, because then at least I'd feel that my pride actually saying stuff that he believed in, no matter how obnoxious and abhorrent I thought it was. But the way it is, he's showing that all he is a gutless, spineless sycophant who's saying whatever he needs to say to stay in the top job as the, you know, chief manager of Western capital in the Department of Australia.
Mm.
And there's no reason for him to do that. He could go down as one of our, he will go down, but he could go down as one of our greatest prime ministers if he actually said what he believed in.
Yeah, and that's right. But because he doesn't say what he believes in, and he is, you know, at that figurehead, he's absolutely accountable and liable now for presiding over a genocide and giving, like, I guess, fluffing the seats for companies that are profiting from genocide to make their way, presiding over a government that allows them to make their way to profit, to make profit here in Australia and to operate in Australia.
Yeah.
And that's something that has come out just today. Some listeners might have, or you might not have seen an article in Crikey today has.
Thank you. Well, I didn't until you sent it to me.
Yeah, I think I did. I'll send it to you again, but it's in Crikey. It's
I've got it.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah.
I've just had something else come over across the desk, which I'll have a look at in a moment. But the documents, there's been an FOI from Crikey on the documents relating to the $900 million deal with that Hanwha Defence made with Albert Systems in regards to the turret systems for and the sensor suite systems for the Redback Infantry Fighting Vehicle. Now, a lot of listeners will be aware of that deal. It made the news, and the government and his gormlessness, Richard Marles and Pat Conroy, continuously said, you know, the Commonwealth doesn't have anything to do with this contract. It's subcontracted by Hanwha Defence, and they're the ones that who have engaged Albert Systems. But what these heavily redacted Freedom of Information reports show is that there are on multiple times that the Commonwealth has signed off and had to give approval for this contract to go ahead. Now, of course, that, you know, of course that we know
you'd
that that's the case, you know. And
you'd hope so.
Yeah, exactly. So we, you know, it's obvious and that we knew that all along that it was necessary, but it's not until now that there's the evidence to do so. And this is what so much of what I think, you know, the research and the work of journalists and campaigns like that of the Albert Out campaign, who are doing stuff on the Future Fund at the moment, and like renegade activists, a lot of the research that we do is that when the time comes, the evidence is going to be there. We have the receipts. And oh, you were going to say something there?
No, I was just going to back you up and say, yes, we have the receipts. And when the time comes, and so many things come out. You know, it just, when you said when the time comes, it just reminded myself back when I was the builder manager at Trades Hall and I used to give tours. And there was one room up there where I used to say, this is where some of the first discussions about Federation of Australia took place. And people said you couldn't have that. It's where the discussions about the women's suffrage took place. It's where the campaign against conscription in the First World War, in the Vietnam War, took place. It's where support for opposition to South Africa took place. East Timor. And in every one of these situations, the government of the day, Labor and Liberal, have said it's too hard, we can't do this, we can't do this. And now every one of those debates, it's been shown that we have been on the right side of history and they have been wrong and guilty of heinous crimes by being wrong. So, I mean, they know this, we know this. All they're hoping is that they can keep the information from coming out for 50 or 60 years as a ban on freedom of information, so that they can't be held accountable because they'll be dead.
Someone's just popped this. There's a caller that has come in. Something's just come across the desk in the studio that last week or a week ago, over a week ago now, a Palestinian woman who was in her 60s, Maha Al-Masri, was taken from her home in Sydney before dawn in the morning and taken to Bankstown Cop Shop before being transferred to Villawood Detention Centre. And so her visa was cancelled by Assistant Citizenship Minister Julian Hill, according to a document, apparently after failing the character test, but just overnight, Maha Al-Masri has been released from Villawood, and there aren't details about the status of her visa, and the details of her release are unknown, but she has been released. And it also says in this article that's come across the desk is that the only right to cancel a person's visa is on character grounds, or if the cancellation is deemed to be, quote, in the national interest. So what Julian Hill's assessment of the national interest to take a woman in her 60s from her home at 5 o'clock in the morning to lock her in the detention centre needs to be heavily, heavily challenged and questioned, and to do that to someone to release her last week. And what trauma are you inflicting on people in doing this?
And look, Julian Hill is the Mandurong way. I think it's Bruce is the name of the electorate. And I used to quite, for a Labor Party member, think that Julian Hill was one of the better ones. He stood up very strongly and spoke up for Julian Assange. He was a member of the Palestinian Parliamentary Friends of Palestine. He was actually one, I won't say good'uns, one of the better ones in the Australian Labor Party. But I think by what he's done over the past couple of weeks, he's just failed a character test.
Absolutely.
It's just about Julian, if you're listening, and I'll send you an email after the show, mate, sometime tonight, and just to tell you how friggin' disappointed I am in you, mate. Just how friggin' disappointed I am.
And the whole lot of them, they haven't done anything. So that is why we are, as a government, they haven't done anything. So that's why we're going to Canberra this Sunday. We should get back to giving some details about what's going to be happening over the few days, I guess. I do hope that Maha Al-Masri is back home with her family and getting the support and care that she needs after a horrific week.
Absolutely, for all of them. And it's not just her. It's every other Palestinian on a bridging view that's saying, fuck me, is it me next?
Yeah. Yeah. What sort of message
and that's
did that
why
send?
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it, because they didn't believe she was a threat. They wanted everyone to say, geez, me next, which is exactly the argument Julian used to use about why they're keeping Assange inside. But anyway, so 2 o'clock on Sunday, rally at Parliament House.
Yeah, that's right. So 2 o'clock on Sunday, we'll be there a bit earlier to set up, of course. But there is going to be a rally from 2 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock, we're going to be marching to the Israeli embassy. And so there's going to be come and join us on the Sunday, and really before Parliament opens on the Tuesday, being there on the Sunday and sending a message that's like, you know, get the jump on them and go like, no, you've had a couple of days to mull this over. Now you can decide, you know?
That's right, because what parliamentarians always say to you when there's a protest, why did you tell us before you did it? We would have done something.
Yeah, exactly. And so we'll go there on the Sunday. I mean, never mind the last 21 months, but, so 2 o'clock at New Parliament House. And then a 3 o'clock march to the Israeli embassy. At the Israeli embassy, there's going to be a vigil, an illuminated vigil with candles. And then on the Monday is the day, Monday 21st, is the National Campaign Planning Day and Day of Self-Organized Actions. So there's at an inner city location, there's going to be a couple of work rooms with some really good workshops and information sessions happening throughout the course of the day. So the day will start off with a workshop with David Rovix, who has been a guest on Uprise Radio before and maybe some other programs here at 3CR, about using music and culture as tools to build and sustain social movements.
Stayed with me a couple of trips to Melbourne ago.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to catch up again. David will also be speaking at the Tuesday rally. So the Sunday rally, there's the speaker lineup will be coming out pretty over either tonight or tomorrow. And then the Tuesday rally, we've got some kick-ass, you know, incredible speakers there as well. But back to the workshops on Monday.
Including yours truly.
Exactly, including yours truly. I'm looking forward to that. And So there's a workshop on what it takes to stop arming Israel. There's a workshop on about the Hind Foundation and accountability for war crimes. Our dear friend and comrade Amin is hosting a Dabka workshop. Uncle Robbie Thorpe of Bunjil's Fire and Crime Scene Australia is going to be doing an information session and workshop about prosecuting the case of genocide. And Crime Scene Australia, which I'm sure all 3CR listeners are aware of. There's going to be How to Fight the Weaponization of Anti-Semitism, a workshop with anti-Zionist Jews. Of course, that's a really, really important one coming, you know, with Julian Siegel's report coming out last week and the moves from the government around that. We'll be hearing from some crew in Newcastle who have been doing work against the Astro Aero Labs Aerospace Centre up there in Newcastle. There's going to be a Red Lines Package Explained, which is going to be facilitated by a lawyer working on the Red Lines Package, which is the package of sanctions. And that's been put forward to Parliament, but will be hopefully being put forward to Parliament. So just about what that is and what that looks like on the inside. And
That's been put forward by Lydia Thorpe and Fatima Payman,
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. They'll come out and say hello on the lawns, as will a couple of the Greens.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the Red Line Package. So it's just explaining what that is and what that looks like, you know, going into Parliament when the time comes that it will be tabled in Parliament and how I guess that kind of within the halls of the beast, what that looks like, and then how that can support and vice versa to grassroots action on the ground.
And then the Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. So I should just say there is a bunch of more workshops. Friend and comrade Noor is doing a workshop on BDS, boycott, divestments and sanctions. Right. There's another workshop on how to take BDS to councils and also setting up action desks. So there's a bunch of stuff going on. And so if you want to have a look at those, jump on to www.sanctionisraelnow.com. And now the Tuesday, please.
Yes. So the idea is the rally starts at what time? I haven't got the thing. 10 o'clock, is it?
10 o'clock.
Rally starts at 10 o'clock. But we're going to try to get people there early because the pollies get, by 10 o'clock, they'll all be already driven into their underground car parks. So if you're planning on coming up, be aware that we're going to tell you that to come to be at Parliament House entrances at, you know, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock to get the pollies on their way in. Then there's going to be a host of speakers, as Mercedes just said, and will be posted later tonight.
That's right. And so you can find all that information again at sanctionisraelnow.com. And there's also an Instagram that it's sanctionisraelnow. So jump on, all the information will come through there. And we've got the good folks at Slacker Radio in the studio ready to roll. So we're going to hear from NASA again, just encouraging you again to come to Canberra. And we'll be talking to you next week. Jake, see you in Canberra.
See you in Canberra. Talk to you next week. Have a good show, you Slacker mob.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.